Welcome to The Goodnight Show. I'm Shay Morrison, sleep expert and co-founder of The Goodnight Co. Join me each week for hints and tips on all things sleep. Hello and welcome back to The Goodnight Show. I'm looking forward to reintroducing a familiar guest to today's show, Dr. David Cowhey. David joined us last season where he introduced us to oral fitness and the connection with sleep. So talking all about dentistry, mouths, and sleep. And today he's back to delve deeper into mouth breathing. Did you know that it's been documented that mouth breathing adults are more likely to experience sleep disordered breathing, fatigue, decreased productivity, and poorer quality of life than those who nasal breathe? David walks us through the negative consequences between mouth breathing and its impact on the quality of your sleep and general health, as well as what you should do if you believe you are a mouth breather. Welcome, David. It's so great to have you back on the podcast. For all of those who may have not listened to our previous episode, Dr. David Cowhey is a holistic dentist practicing in Brisbane at Dental Wellness. And David is coming back to talk to us today about mouth breathing. So oral fitness is the overall topic and it can play such a big role in how we sleep. So David, the question I love to find out is, how did you sleep last night?
Look, I didn't sleep that badly last night. I've just recently invested in an Oura ring. I can assess my sleep.
Yes,
and it seems to be I'm getting some good deep sleep, and which is the important sleep, the recovery sleep.
Absolutely. And have you been wearing that every night?
Every night for about a month.
Yeah. Okay. I found that I became a little bit addicted to my Oura ring and had to have a break in the last couple of months.
Yes.
It's certainly great if you're really taking that next step into prioritizing sleep to give you an understanding of whether or not you are cycling through all the stages that you need.
Well, look, the discussion today is about mouth breathing, and I know that I was a mouth breather quite markedly through my childhood and in my adulthood as well, and I've really retrained myself to breathe through my nose a lot. But at night, I have to take certain steps to make sure that I can breathe through my nose and not breathe through my mouth.
Yeah. One of the things that I always seem to get marked down on my Oura ring score is my latency, which, you know, I tend to fall asleep very fast, which can often be a sign of
it's fatigue. Just fatigue, yes.
Yeah.
But also a lot of people with a risk of sleep apnea, they tend to fall asleep very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So it certainly is is something that it's good that this ring can pick that up and just make you realize that you have to wind down in the night beforehand.
That's before right. You go to sleep. So having that routine and taking that time rather than going, oh, it's bedtime, I need to go get into bed now and fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just on that topic then, I know we haven't quite introduced mouth breathing yet, but the connection around mouth breathing and sleep apnea, because you just mentioned that, is that a...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, often the people who snore, obviously snoring is a high risk factor for the risk of sleep apnea. Now, dentists can't diagnose sleep apnea, but we certainly can see the signs of it in the mouth. We can see... when we look at the back of the throat, the uvula, which is the little, it looks like a little punching bag at the back of the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's often swollen and probably elongated. Mm-hmm. So it's a sign that that's getting sucked back and forth from snoring.
Right.
And with people with sleep apnea, there are signs of often scalloping on the tongue, which is the sides of the tongue. There's quite a marked ridge along the side, which coincides with how your teeth come together.
Yeah.
And on the cheeks as well. So they're all signs that the mouth is under a lot of pressure just to breathe at night.
Okay. Well, on that, let's for anyone that's new to this topic, oral fitness, which is the general banner, and then mouth breathing.
Sure.
What does it have to do with sleeping? You know, like give us the top line on how this all impacts the way that we sleep.
Well, look, we all take our mouths for granted, and we take our teeth for granted until something goes wrong. The oral fitness is really, I'm trying to encapsulate all of the aspects that we need to take into account with the relationship of your mouth and general health, which sleep is one of those things. The jaw function needs to be functioning correctly. So your jaw, the way you bite together, the way that your teeth come together, the way that your jaw joint works together, that all needs to be optimal. Your gum health, again, if you're mouth breathing, then there's a higher risk that you're going to get bleeding gums because your mouth dries out. So we want to try and optimize your oral health, your gum health, and then remove any other infections in the mouth that that could be challenging you that will have an effect on your sleep as well. So things like infected root canal treatments and heavy metal mercury fillings, the silver fillings and other metals in the mouth. Also, we want the right nutrition to optimize good sleep, optimize good dental health, less clenching, less breaking of teeth. And that involves good nasal breathing to allow for a really deep sleep. And then, you know, if we can correct a lot of those things, we can actually optimize your airway when you're asleep, which enables you to get some deep sleep, which then enables your body to start working and detoxing and healing during the sleep instead of being constantly woken up having to go to the bathroom because your nervous system's been turned on and your whole system has been turned on because you've been overexciting your system from unfortunately breathing through your mouth.
And you've done an enormous amount of work in this space. So for people that may have never really come across this connection about mouth breathing and what it can be doing, where is it? So obviously going and talking to your dentist, probably a holistic dentist. Not all dentists really specialize in this space. Is that what you would say?
Well, look, yeah, it's holistic dentistry is really... it's not understood by a lot of dentists, but when a lot of dentists are looking at sleep dentistry now, it's becoming a big thing where we're trying to have an impact on people's sleep by improving their jaw position, which improves the airway. So dentistry is taking part in that. There are others that may be looking at nutrition and looking at optimizing nutrition, but there aren't many who sort of put all the everything together and looking at different interferences in the mouth that are challenging your whole nervous system, turning it on and putting you in a situation where you're overexcited at night and your blood pressure's increased, you're restless, you wake up feeling alert, and then you wake up in the morning absolutely exhausted.
And, you know, so you're either waking up feeling exhausted or you might have really dark circles under your eyes or just a lot of puffiness. Are there any other symptoms that people might be, well, as you said, a dry mouth or bleeding gums?
Yeah, look, I mean, dry mouth, I mean, constant lips cracking. So having to put lip balm on a lot is just a real indication that you're breathing through your mouth probably too much. It's, you know, bad breath is another thing that if you are a mouth breather, you're more prone to gum problems. You're more prone to your gums bleeding, which means that there's bacteria trapped and not getting washed away by the saliva because your mouth is drying out. That then leads to bad breath.
Yes.
So bad breath. And unfortunately, bad breath, people don't know they've got bad breath. You just have to have somebody who loves you to tell you, because a lot of people are very afraid of telling someone they've got bad breath. But it is actually an act of love by telling them, because it makes them aware that then they have to do, you know, look to doing something about it. And there are things that can be done, and going to see a dentist would be one of the first.
And so if there are people out there kind of thinking, oh, some of those things relate to me, but I don't know if I'm a mouth breather. I guess if they don't have a partner, it might be asking a friend or, you know, someone close to them to come and observe them for a couple of hours at nighttime. Or is there another way that you suggest you know, determining whether or not you are a mouth breather?
There is a simple little test. If when you bite your teeth together and you bring your lips together, you try and breathe through your nose, even with you sitting up or standing, try and breathe through your nose. Feel how easy it is for you to breathe through your nose. Now, if you put your finger between your teeth and bite on your finger, so your index fingers just and purse your lips around the finger, and then breathe through your nose. And you may find that all of a sudden you can breathe a lot easier through your nose when you're biting on your finger.
Mm.
And that just indicates that when you're in bed, if your teeth are together, you will find it very difficult to breathe through your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're more likely to then breathe through your mouth.
Right.
But then when you breathe through, there's a whole cycle that happens. It's difficult to breathe through your nose. You then start mouth breathing, which then turns your whole system on, which then actually makes you clench your teeth quite a bit.
Mm.
So when you're clenching your teeth and you can't, or you're not very good at breathing through your nose, that's when your nervous system gets turned on, and then your body says, I have to do something to improve it. So you will push your jaw forwards, grinding against your front teeth,
mm.
to draw your tongue away from the back of your airway and enable you to be able to breathe better. So there's a whole cycle of mouth breathing, clenching, pushing your jaw forward, which strains all your neck and your jaw joint. So you often wake up in the morning with a neck strain, or the back of your skull feels like it's hurting because you've been pushing your jaw forward all the time. So they're the sort of signs that you would, if you're getting those signs, then there's a high risk that your body's under a lot of stress through the night. So your body's moving, your jaw's moving to try and open your airway.
Mm.
So that you can sleep, so that you can recover and get to a deep level of sleep.
And do you find, so children, this can be something that is hereditary, potentially through children. Can people develop it as they get older, or when you have it as a child, is that it, or what changes?
No. Look, I mean, children can be born with sometimes a birth defect in the development of their nose. So their septum, which is the little bone in the internal of the nose,
mm.
It can be deviated. So it may be difficult to breathe through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, that child will develop a mouth breathing habit to survive, basically.
Mm.
And with that, it then has an influence on how your upper jaw develops, how your teeth come through. You'll probably find that you have a longer face, and your teeth are crowded, so you may need orthodontics.
Mm-hmm.
Other aspects like tonsils and adenoids, again, very, very common, that the tonsils are reacting often to, unfortunately, possibly dairy intolerance, so that there's a swelling at the back of their throat, so they can't breathe through their nose properly.
Mm.
Again, that will lead to your tongue moving forward and breathing through your mouth. So it's often those kids that have got the dark circles under their eyes,
mm.
And their lips are constantly apart because they're just breathing through the mouth all the time.
Mm.
And until it's picked up, you can actually have a big influence on actually just training someone to stop breathing just through the mouth during the day, especially with kids.
And this is what you're suggesting. You're suggesting that, you know, this is something that you can start early and change. So if you can identify this, you know, in your children at an early age, you can actually, you know, change the way that this is going to develop over time as an adult.
Absolutely. I mean, getting assessed by somebody, a dentist or who looks at those aspects is certainly important, so that if there are adenoids and tonsils, then that's an ear, nose and throat specialist responsibility to look at, really.
Mm.
But we as dentists are now starting to look at those aspects because we can see the impact it's having on the development of the jaw, the development of the activity of tooth decay. A lot of kids who have tooth decay in their baby teeth, it's always put down to sugar. But in fact, in a lot of cases, I find it's actually put down, it should be put down to a breathing disturbance at night. So there's too much mouth breathing and things are drying out, and then bacteria stagnates on the teeth, and then you're more susceptible to tooth decay.
And I was speaking recently, I did a podcast with a woman in WA who has a business called Sound Asleep Baby. So she's really specializing in babies and sleeping. But we touched on the mouth breathing and also behavioral issues that are now stemming from, you know, so it's that kind of cycle, I guess, is the mouth breathing, not having great sleep, behavioral issues as well. A lot of people were fast to, you know, quick to put it down just to food, but, you know, can play, there's such a bigger role.
Oh, look, I think, you know, behavioral issues, attention deficit. I mean, these kids are exhausted. They aren't getting a good night's sleep. They're not getting a deep level of sleep. So they're not recovering. Their nervous systems are being turned on and their adrenals are just going, so that they're just, in that excited state all the time. But also during the night, bed wetting is another thing that is a very upsetting thing for a lot of parents and a lot of kids. And now it's been seen that mouth breathing can be a factor in that, because it's not just the nervous system that turns on, it's the urinary system as well. All of the systems turn on.
Which is what you were saying before as well. So not even as a child, but as an adult, if you're finding that you are needing to get up often to go to the bathroom, this is all part of that and related as well.
It is, yes. Yeah.
And is it something that, you know, we can talk about growing out of it, but it's something that just needs to be assessed and addressed and making those changes? So I know that we've talked before about mouth taping, and whilst that comes with some warnings and seeking professional advice, so we're certainly not suggesting people rush out and get a tape and tape their mouth together, but through seeking further advice and information, that is something that can play a role to change the mouth breathing programming.
Yes, look, there are quite a few different types of tape that people are using now. There's one that actually is like a little square tape that goes around the lips. So it doesn't actually go over the lips at all, but it frames the lips. So it just inhibits them from opening. And I can see them being very useful for children, just there's at no point is there any restriction if there's a need, but it's a way of just trying to influence the lips being kept together more.
Well, that makes sense. That's great. But your advice is definitely around, if people are wanting to get some more advice on this, is to go and speak to their dentist or speak to an ENT or somebody.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't go taping any child's lips without having an ENT specialist say that there's no adenoid issues, there's no defects of the septum, there's no reason physically why this child can't breathe through the nose. But also there are a whole range of other aspects, psychological problems that may be factors as well. So it isn't just dental. And I think that's important to take on board. But there are people now, dental myologists. They are often the oral health therapists. They've done further training in a thing called myology, which is looking at the musculature and the control and training of exercises to strengthen the muscles of the lips so you can keep them together, and exercises on breathing and a rebreathing training as well.
And that's something that you've done some more work in with. I know that you've done the Wim Hof breathing.
Yes, I mean, I've done the Wim Hof more for my personal benefit, because I was intrigued, because I've there's another breathing technique called Buteyko, which is the Russian breathing technique, which teaches you to breathe through your nose, and your mouth is for eating, your nose is for breathing.
Yeah,
the Wim Hof is almost more of an extreme, because it's more influencing using breathing exercises to try and control that autonomic nervous system, which calms you down. So there's a fight or fright sympathetic stress mode, which mouth breathing puts you into. And then there's the calm healing side, which is the parasympathetic, which this breathing technique allows you to get into a lot quicker. So it's an interesting advancement on when you're looking at optimizing the use of breathing for general health.
And there is so much coming out now about breathing. Yeah. And it's something that we talk about a lot here at the Good Night Co around just understanding some breathing techniques. And there are so many, whatever works for you, but incorporating that breath work, which can help, as you say, the parasympathetic nervous system and just taking a breath and calming down. You know, there is a stat around when we're looking at our computer screens, for example, we stop breathing. Yeah. So we're putting ourselves into that fight or flight mode, which is not doing us any benefits. And considering most of us, a lot of us sit in front of computers all day, you know, that's a pretty significant impact on the body and on the system.
Yeah. I mean, there are some simple positions that you can put your jaw in to optimize your nasal breathing while you're on the computer. And that's just opening your bite slightly and bringing your lower jaw forward so that your lower teeth are probably in line with your upper teeth and just bringing your lips together at that point, but also putting the tip of your tongue up into the roof of your mouth. So if you have your tongue up in the roof of your mouth, your jaw's slightly coming forward and your lips are sealed, you will find that when you breathe through your nose, you can breathe a lot easier.
I just did it and you've taught me that one before. Must admit, I slip in and out of it, but it is a good reminder. So it's probably a good one to put on a sticky note near your computer.
So, I mean, sticky notes are a really good way of, if you're really wanting to train yourself or retrain yourself to try and keep your lips together and breathe through your nose, just put sticky notes wherever you normally spend most of the time. So then every time you see that sticky note, you know, okay, have I got my lips together? Is my tongue up in the roof of my mouth? Is my jaw slightly forward? And am I just gently breathing through my nose? It does make a big impact. With kids, you could create a favorite cartoon character or a favorite TV personality that they like. And you can, every time you see your child with their lips apart, then you say that word or that name, Scooby-Doo or whatever, and it will encourage the child to say, every time I say this, just bring your lips together and breathe through your nose and make it a fun game. And the more you do that, the more it will become a habit.
I love that one. You know, I guess for people out there that are listening, thinking, oh, some of these things, you know, are true for me or for my partner or for my children, you know, going and getting that advice, taking that next step is a great place to start, because as we said, you can change this even, you know, certainly with children, because we can make easier changes. But even if as an adult, you can start making some of these changes, which is going to just have that beautiful impact on the quality of sleep that you're getting, let alone the changes that might also benefit you in your mouth. So it's really a double positive.
Yes. And the earlier you can intercept these things, the better. The broader the jaw will develop, the bigger the smile, the happier the smile, the less dental problems there are. And generally, somebody whose jaw has developed broadly because they've been breathing through their nose, they haven't had a lot of tooth decay, they haven't had a lot of dentistry, and they're generally a calmer person. So they're happier, and it's something that really we all want to strive for.
Absolutely. And so, David, is mouth breathing something that can also develop later on, or would you generally have it from when you were a child?
Mouth breathing is something that I think everyone has done to a degree. It depends what treatments you've had. If you've had, say, your mouth been crowded, so you've had a lot of teeth, maybe teeth removed, and then had braces to align the teeth that are left, then often that has put a situation where your tongue really wants to live in this big house inside where your teeth are. And if you had been breathing optimally, the roof of its house would be like a big barn. Because of the breathing, the mouth breathing, it's like a cathedral, the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then dentistry's come along and taken some more teeth out and made it into this little hut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your tongue's still the same size. So yeah. That tongue is under stress all the time. Now, a lot of people can go through life without noticing it until they start getting neck pain or they start getting headaches a lot. And it's only when you start getting the problems of chronic neck pain, headaches, jaw joint problems, anxiety, stress, not being able to deal with stress. Those sort of things are sort of brought on later, really. But when we look at one of the original factors, it's actually how things have developed all through their life.
Yeah.
So people may not have been aware of it, but we often see patients in their 50s to 70s, you know, or whatever age, and we can date back. We can date back when the problem started, and it's not just a year, it's often the whole of their lives. But there are things that we can do to help those people in every case, really.
Absolutely. So if you are somebody who's feeling like this, what are the three actions or the three tips that you would recommend?
Look, one of the first ones, which I find if anyone's a mouth breather, then they get huge benefit from it, because all through the night, potentially, if they're mouth breathing, their nervous system has been turned on and their digestive system has been turned off. Now, at night, the opposite is supposed to be happening. And often people reach to use lemon water and apple cider vinegar in the mornings to try and get their digestive system working. And it has good effect.
Guilty.
because it stimulates your vagal tone, your parasympathetic. But something that also stimulates it and is very, very good for you is a simple thing called oil pulling. Where you're basically putting a teaspoon of coconut oil, not a tablespoon, which is online, there's a lot of people saying a tablespoon. I would use a teaspoon amount. And just sluice it around your mouth, keeping your lips together. For the first 5 minutes of that, oil pulling, as it's called, is good for changing the bacteria that's been stagnating in between your teeth. So it improves your gum health. But more importantly, for the people who are mouth breathers, if you have 10, 15, 20 minutes of doing this, that's 20 minutes of you gently breathing through your nose without you even knowing it. And that then stimulates all of the calming, healing side of your body. So you'll feel calmer. Your digestive system should be working better. Your tears will improve. Your saliva flow will improve. Your respiratory system calms. It just has a really overall good calming effect. So that your ability to detox and get the benefit from supplements that you're taking in the morning will be optimized as well.
Beautiful. So you're saying replace, if you're somebody who, you know, might be doing the lemon in water or apple cider vinegar, you can replace that with the oil pulling, which is
I would say so. I mean, the risks with lemon water and apple cider vinegar, although they have a great effect on the digestive system, when they're used over time, it doesn't matter how protected you are, you will, your enamel on your teeth will get thinner and your teeth will get more yellow because the enamel gets thinner. And any fillings, any white fillings, the bond will be attacked by the acid and the risk that those white fillings are going to fail. And any gum problems will get magnified, unfortunately, because the acid and bacteria under the gum create more problems as well. So it has lemon water and apple cider vinegar. I would definitely say if you can't give it up, then you need to use a bicarb soda half a spoon, teaspoon in some water and bathe your mouth in that rather than just water. And also do not brush your teeth for probably half an hour to 40 minutes after using that lemon water, because your enamel will be softer. And just over time, we then see smooth, polished surfaces on the teeth, where it's the only possible cause. It's something that we can pick up quite easily.
Okay. If you're, you know, a mum with children and this any of this information is sort of ringing true, we definitely suggest going and getting that checked out. And if you're an adult, for you or for anyone that you know that, you know, might be experiencing any of these problems, this is a great place to start, because all of this works in conjunction with your total wellness plan. And, you know, who would have thought that there was such a direct correlation between teeth, mouth, and sleep? But of course it makes sense, because, you know, it's all interconnected. So getting this checked out by a holistic dentist would be a great place to start. David is based in Brisbane. Dental wellness is his practice. And we definitely suggest checking him out online. I think you're also on Facebook, David.
Yes, it's Dental Wellness Brisbane, I think.
Yes. We'll connect that to the show notes.
Yeah.
So if
yeah.
you have any questions, and if you're not based in Brisbane but you want some advice, feel free to reach out and David can answer any of those questions or direct you into the right place.
Look, one of the things really, when people are mouth breathing at night and they're having stressful nights, then they're often clenching their teeth. And they're the people who have got multiple cracked teeth and multiple root treated teeth because the teeth have cracked. Then there's a risk that an infection can then challenge your system again. So it's certainly worth coming to the practice and considering getting a 3D x-ray taken, so that we can see not only your airway, but we can see all of the roots of your teeth and make sure there's no infections underneath any of the teeth as well. And your sight, it will give us a good view of the nasal passages and the sinuses, so we can see if there's any obstructions going on as well.
Perfect. So thank you so much for joining us today, David. It's always great to have you on, and there is such insight and connection to mouth, teeth, dentistry, and sleep. And we look forward to being able to connect again soon.
Great. It's lovely to talk.
Thanks, David. Thank you for listening to The Good Night Show. If you're keen to learn more about our guests or any of the topics we've spoken about today, hop on over to the Good Night Co. closed Facebook community group, or check us out at thegoodnightco.com.au. And if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to us on your favourite podcast provider by searching The Good Night Show. And if you love what you're hearing, don't forget to leave us a glowing review. Thanks, everyone.